Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil. Next, I take an ice bath. Ooh, feeling super healthy.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, Cygnos.com, with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Big color, bigger savings. It's Sherwin-Williams' biggest super sale. Get 40% off paints and stains October 17th through the 27th with prices starting at $29.39. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour 3 of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter, at Bogman Sports. Joined, as always, in Hour 3 by my friend, OKC Bubba, at BDN Trick on the Twitter machine. Bubba, how's it going, my man?
Going, man. It's going for sure. It's beautiful out in California, about the only good thing about California. And we got tons of sports, and I don't have a roach on my wall. So life is good right now.
Yeah. If you guys tuned in to, I would think that Welsh probably didn't put that into hour one. If you guys listen to the ITL baseball podcast this week, there was a gigantic tree roach or something crawling in my office here in the middle of the show, and I wigged out because I am a pansy when it comes to bugs. Really just roaches. I don't, you know, spiders don't bother me. Wasps and bees don't bother me that much, you know, but roaches, like, you know, really fast crawly fly things. No thanks. So not for me. And I just showed that clip to Bubba before we fired up, and he was getting almost as big a kick out of it as the Welsh was while it was actually happening. So glad you guys enjoyed my complete panic meltdown. So appreciate that. But Bub, we got a lot to talk about here today, but let's start with some golf like we always do. What is going on with golf? I've been sending you some pretty awesome golf reels recently. Yep. I think you're like you and my my buddies, Chad and Joe, who play golf a bunch. You're the ones that I send the golf reels to. And there's been they're coming up more on my feed because I think I'm sending you more. There's a bunch of, you know, some idiot trying to hit one into the ocean, and he hit a rock and it went back into his car. That was fantastic. There's been a bunch of those. But what is going on in the actual real world of golf?
They're down there in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for the AT&T Byron Nelson this weekend, getting ramped up. A lot of the big players are playing to get ready for the next major, which is next weekend in Tulsa, Oklahoma, the PGA Championship. So just a normal golf week, a little ramped up. The last few weeks have been some pretty boring tournaments. A lot of the big guys are taking some time off. Like DJ got married to Polina Gretzky recently. That was fun. Stuff like that. So they're getting ready to rock and roll. And more importantly, you got this Saudi Arabia LIV tour that's getting ready to ramp up. Lots of drama behind that. Phil Mickelson makes his return next week for the PGA Championship. That's going to be spicy. Like, there is some interesting things going on in those worlds. Like, Sergio Garcia last week was mad at the rules official and said, get me off this effing tour. So it's getting fun right now. That part of it's fun. The rest of it's just got to be a golf fan to enjoy.
I like a little drama. Little drama. That's always fun. Well, Welsh and I talked about this earlier, but I want to get your take on it. Tom Brady getting $375 million on a 10-year agreement for just whenever he decides to retire, probably after this season. But, you know, with Tom Brady, guy could be playing another 6 or 7 years. Mm-hmm. But Fox just has dropped the bag on him here.
Big bag.
To come and broadcast games. And look, I know that, you know, you got to get ahead of this. It's very competitive as far as announcers go, because Tony Romo kind of started this. ESPN stole away Troy Aikman and Joe Buck from Fox, so they're going to be doing Monday Night Football moving forward. The Manning cast has been very popular and all that stuff, but Brady is going to be getting paid more to call games than he is to play games, which is just insanity to me. And we don't even know if he's good at it yet. Like, you know, best quarterback in the world ever, greatest football player of all time, not close, you know, and, but he is going to be getting a bunch of money and we don't even know if he's good. Do you think he's going to be good? And is this crazy or is this, do you think the right move for Fox to kind of stay relevant here?
I think it's maybe the right move to stay relevant. I think it's stupid, to be honest. I think there's a lot of talented people they could have saved a lot of money and got. But my first thing, I was like, first off, congrats, Brady. Like, you just won the lottery again. But my first thought was, what are they going to let him do? Because he's been, when on the Manning cast was good. When you've heard him kind of just dudes being dudes, he's hilarious. But if he's in that booth and there's, like, you know, rules and regulations on what he can say, well, how good is he going to be now? Because, you know, everyone loves Bruce Arians, but that little experiment didn't last very long because you have to you have to reel him in. Bruce, I could guarantee you, I could sit and have a 12-pack of beer with and have some of the best conversations on the planet. For most of them couldn't be put on the air. So it's just you got to figure out how to make that happen. And if they're going to go more towards a Manning cast type vibe with Brady, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be absolutely amazing. If they're going to try to stick it to the standard, you know, booth, it's going to be tricky. Like, I guess the closest thing I could say I could see it being is like Bill Walton doing college basketball. Like, they let Bill do his thing. Just Bill, go do your thing. And we're going to put you with a very, very talented guy to direct the ship. And that's how we're going to do it. Maybe that's how things go. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so much money and it's crazy. I mean, there's a lot of, a lot of people talking about, hey, look, you know, I'm going to watch my team. And it really doesn't matter who's broadcasting it. That's the game I'm going to watch. Yeah. I don't know that people are going to Fox to watch, you know, a game. Now, I will say that there's less homerism, less people following just one team, more people ever following the game as a whole than just rooting as for one team. So there are more people now that will be more going towards the Tony Romo games, the ones with the good announcers. I mean, you know,
well, they'll probably be the primetime game of the week too. So we're going to be watching them more often than not.
But I know Collinsworth's first thought was, well, if he says he's retiring for his kids and he's going to go take all that money to broadcast games, you're not going to see your kids that much because you still have to, you got to do player interviews. You got to do production meetings. Like, it's not as intense as football and it's not every single day, but it might
be different for Brady. Like, we can talk more about it after the break, true. But I've seen some different models that it might be different for Brady.
That's true. And
big color, bigger savings. It's Sherwin-Williams' biggest super sale. Get 40% off paints and stains October 17th through the 27th with prices starting at $29.39. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
We do have to go to break, but when we come back, we'll be talking more football. It's In This League on hour three of the Sports Grid, so stick with us. We'll be right back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more? Let me tell you something about
In This League.
Hour three of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogdan. Follow me on Twitter, at Bogdan Sports. Joined by KC Bubba at BDNTrick on the Twitter machine. And Bubba, please tell everyone all of the great stuff and things you are doing across the interwebs right now.
Yeah, like you said, Twitter at BDNTrick. You'll get all the goodies there. But I'm writing content for fantasy baseball at Fantrax HQ, at RotoBaller, at Fantasy Pros, and Fantasy DGens once in a while. So you can get the goodies there, some DFS as well at RotoBaller. I have the MLB DFS Quick Hits podcast coming at you Monday through Friday. More often than not, like I didn't do one on Thursday because the slate was like four games on the 10 in the morning my time. So it wasn't worth anybody's time. But more often than not, you're going to get plenty of action there. The Benched with Bubba podcast coming at you multiple times a week. Tuesdays with Bat Flip Crazy, Thursday with Ryan Bloomfield, Bubba and the Bloom. And I try to throw in an additional episode here and there. And the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast as well coming at you usually on Mondays to get you ready for the PGA Tour action. But always fun stuff going on. We'll see if anything else happens. But I think that's plenty for now.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, I think, you know, you've always said things like, you know, Bogman, you're doing, you're probably doing too much. You're doing a lot. I think you're probably recording more often than I am now. Is that floating around in your head at all? Or are you getting worn out a little bit? I see a little more gray in this beard right here.
The recordings aren't too bad right now. I'll tell you that much, but it is what it is at this point in time.
Yeah, I know. Stretched thin. That is what we are for sure. And you've got, you know, what, a 60-hour week job also on top of it.
Busy. Well, I'm an almost 2-year-old running around, so it's fun.
And a kid. Good Lord. Yeah. I'm over here worrying about roaches crawling on the wall. You got way more to worry about. Let's talk about the NFL. I saw an article on The Athletic, and it was about the potential for the NFL package to move away from DirecTV. And I think this might be the last year that they're under contract with DirecTV. So, you know, first of all, they thought a ton of people were bidding on this because it's such a moneymaker, but they only had two bids, I believe, last time. I think it was Fox bid for it, and then DirecTV did, and DirecTV won the bid. But I know a lot of people are concerned that it could get chopped up into too many streaming platforms. I know Amazon is going to have some Thursday Night Football already. You know, Fox is going to have theirs. CBS is going to have theirs. ESPN has a hand in here. Are you worried about the potential for these games to be on so many different platforms? And as an NFL fan, having to, you know, have all of them? Or is that not something that enters your mind? You're just like, I'll watch the games I'm going to watch? Or what are your thoughts on something like that?
Because baseball started to do that already. Like, they have the Apple TV game and stuff. And
yeah,
I don't
Facebook,
like
the Facebook stuff. Yeah. I hate it.
Yeah. I don't like this stuff because I guess I'm old school. Like, I stream stuff. I use YouTube TV. That's what I use now and stuff. So like, right. I stream, but I don't want to go to a million places to watch what I want to watch. I don't want to subscribe to every freaking thing. Cause now I'm back to, well, I should have stuck with DirecTV after all. Like, it gets to a point where it's like overkill, business overload, as you could say. So it is a little annoying. Like, I haven't had the package for a couple of years. Cause I haven't been around enough on, I used to be around every Sunday. We'd watch the package as a group, done. It's not financially worth my time right now. So they start splitting it up. It's like, well, I guess I'll figure something out, but I'm not going to invest a ton of money in going to 12 different locations to watch, you know, football and baseball and all this other stuff. So I wish they could figure out something. I know they're always going to follow the money. Like you said, Amazon, YouTube's trying to do stuff. They're going to stretch it everywhere they can. They're going to get all their money, but it's just insane that that's where it's gotten. Cause it's, I think eventually you're going to stretch it out too much where you are going to lose the fan base at some point in time.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's kind of, it's a little bit of my fear too. I mean, I would love for it to be not on DirecTV because I'm tired of paying my DirecTV bill every single month because it's just absurd. But I don't know if it's going to be cheaper if it goes somewhere else. You know, I don't think it is. So I don't know. I'm a little worried about it, but I'm not too crazy concerned because pretty much doesn't matter what's happening. I'm going to pay to watch the Steelers. So that they got the NFL has got me regardless of where it goes. So life finds a way. Bogman finds a way to watch this game. That's pretty much how it goes in my household here. So a couple other things with the NFL. This Sam Howell story. We'll talk about fantasy because, look, my initial PPR rankings dropped this week over on the ITL Patreon. So I do want to talk about a couple guys that it's tough to rank, or at least I found myself being very different from ECR. With a couple players, fantasy pros, expert consensus rankings, that kind of stuff. But Sam Howell came out today or this week, excuse me, and said that he has never eaten steak or had a burger, that he only eats chicken. And This isn't news, right? It's not news. It shouldn't affect anything to do with Sam Howell. Guy fell to the fifth round because apparently he didn't interview very well, and he's not like a rah-rah leadership guy. But this is a hilarious story. How do you live to be in your early 20s and you've never had a steak or a burger in this country? That is just shocking to me, right?
Especially living in North Carolina. Like, at least for North
Carolina,
at least for your college days. I don't know where he went. He grew up, but I'm guessing the South, but you never know. And he didn't say he's a vegetarian. Didn't say he's like a pescatarian.
He said he eats chicken.
Yeah. So he's, you know, maybe doesn't eat beef. Maybe that's what it is. It's crazy. You're seeing a lot more of it these days. I'll say that much. You're seeing a lot more of it these days. that part doesn't surprise me, I guess, as much. Remember, Prince Fielder went vegan. That was pretty surprising.
I do, and he was so fat.
Yeah, like, so I guess it's weird, but yeah, for like, you think football, you think, you know, burly tough guys that, you know, we eat steak and, you know, drink beer and do these things. And you got Sam Howell, who in North Carolina of all places hasn't had a burger, hasn't had a steak, and it is very surprising. I guess we should guess less surprised. When I saw the headline though, Bogman, I laughed, because to me, the last great North Carolina quarterback, who's now quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers, he had a quote when he came out that was not about, I have not had a burger or steak in my life. Do you remember what his quote was about?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Yeah. And I don't want to make you edit things out, but
no.
My point is, North Carolina quarterbacks, different breed, I guess.
Got some weird stuff happening. Yeah. Got some weird stuff.
Chapel Hill, that whole triangle down, research triangle, like some weird stuff going on.
Yeah. Let's research what the hell is happening with these guys for sure. What about the last thing before we talk about rankings and things like that? Josh Lambeau suing the Jaguars over a hostile work environment, which is
so good.
Like, it's kind of so funny. Good. It's also kind of sad. I don't know. To me, it seems like, all right, Josh Lambeau, you're not going to make it in the league. You miss kicks, which is the main reason why you were cut, you know, not because you stood up to Urban Meyer, who cares, right? But the hostile work environment and all that stuff. I mean, we all know that he has a case and he's going to win it. I mean, Urban Meyer kicked him in front of people. Like, there are witnesses that saw it. So he's definitely going to win some money here. Is this eye rolling, or is this, hey man, you know, go get the money that you can get?
I guess it's go get your money. It's not my style. Like, right. I know people hate this, but I was raised differently. Like, I played sports differently, where, you know, coaches would grab you by the back of your shirt and drag you everywhere you did something wrong. And that was just the way it went. And by no means am I saying the guy should kick a dude, especially a grown ass man. Like, that should not be the case.
That's a fight.
That's the thing, is Lambeau should have got up and taken care of it right there.
Yep.
But there's the coach and player.
Show that kicking leg off.
Yep. Exactly. So that's where I differentiate. I would have taken care of business then, so it wouldn't have got to a lawsuit later. But I guess at this point, you know, if you feel like you're probably not gonna ever kick again or whatever, because you're not that good, go get your money and walk away. But it sucks it's come to this. And the crazy thing is there might be more, because I guarantee you Urban did more stuff.
So this
might have some like long lasting ramifications for the Jaguars, besides just the money they paid Urban Meyer.
And this could set a precedent for sure, because if he wins, and why wouldn't he? I mean, he's got witnesses, all that stuff. Other players could come forward and say, well, this happened to me, that happened to me. It's because of a hostile work environment. And now Shad Khan even saying he's lost all respect for Urban Meyer will now lose some more money outside of what he had to pay Urban Meyer. Just a bad business decision by Shad Khan, who is a great businessman, but obviously this one wasn't great. When we come back, we'll talk about actual fantasy football. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this. It's In This League on the Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Why the fire is it called
In This League?
Because who could be scared of it?
In This League.
Yeah, just this nice bloke from down the road, isn't he?
What's wrong with you?
Hello, I'm
In This League.
I've just moved in. My wife has got varicose veins.
I'm having a heart attack. Having a heart attack.
You're not having an heart attack.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour 3 of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm Scott Bach. Follow me on Twitter at Boston Sports. Please check out the Patreon if you want. Patreon.com/ITL Army. We've got all kinds of goodies for you. The Welsh is doing in-season ranks for redraft and dynasty updates every single month. I put out my initial PPR rankings. Of course, the Welsh has prospect one and his over 500 minor leaguers ranked for fantasy in there as well. I got my first year player draft rankings. IDPs will be up this week. Dynasty will also be up at the end of the week as well. So all kinds of goodies, including GroupMe rooms, direct access to the Welsh and I, all kinds of good stuff. So I did my initial rankings, Bub, and I always go through them and kind of compare them to ECR before I post to go, all right, who am I crazy on? Who am I too high, too low? I try to get a sense, right? And there are times where I go, all right, you know what? I'm clearly too low on X, Y, or Z. Or, all right, I'm clearly too high on X, Y, or Z. But there are also times where I go, nah, you guys are crazy. I don't know what the hell you're doing ranking this guy so low or so high. And I keep my guy where I have him. So I have a couple of those here I want to ask you about. The first one is ranking Deshaun Watson. Now, we have talked about many times that we are not the moral police, you know. So if you don't want Deshaun Watson on your fantasy team because of the things that he has been accused of, good on you. You know, my first rule of fantasy is, you know, it's supposed to be fun. So if you don't want to take a guy because you can't root for him, just take him off your list. No big deal. Someone else will take him. You know, there's plenty of moral ambiguity going on everywhere. So someone will take Watson. You don't have to roster him. I get it. I was like that. I'm not a big Mike Vick fan. I can't stand what he did. Didn't want to root for him. Hated that the Steelers signed him. You know, he's just not for me. So he did his time. I'm not saying he can't work. He's paid his debt to society. I just don't want to root for him. So there you go. But I have a hard time ranking him. I put him in 17 among quarterbacks because I expect a suspension. Now, maybe I'm silly. Maybe I'm wrong because the odds came out today and the Browns are now the favorite to win the division over the Ravens, over the Bengals. The Steelers have worse odds to win their division than the Jaguars do.
Over the Bengals?
Over the Bengals, who were just in the Super Bowl.
Defending AFC champions. Wow.
Well, the initial ones in like January or whatever had had the Ravens as the favorites after the getting all those injured players back and obviously having a fantastic draft as well. But now the Browns are the favorites. So I guess if the betting community isn't expecting Deshaun Watson to get suspended, maybe I shouldn't. But isn't this kind of how these suspensions go? Everyone goes, oh, well, they haven't suspended him. And then right before the season, he gets six games and everyone's pissed off. Like they still haven't released Baker. They signed Jacoby Brissett, a veteran backup, yep, just in case something happens. So it's tough to rank him anywhere. Dynasty, redraft. I put my rankings up for redraft. But what do you think about ranking Deshaun Watson right now?
Yeah, it's tricky. Like you said, you have him 17. ECR's got to make 12, it looks like, right now. It just depends on, do you A, want him on your team? Like you said, that's a definite thing. And B, do you think what's his suspension basically? And I've heard varying reports, like you hear Rappaport and guys say, well, there's still so many trials. He might not even get suspended until next season. Like, right, he might play a full season. And if that's the case, he probably is a top 12 quarterback. Like, that's just the facts of life. The dude's a stud.
For sure.
But you got to imagine it's going to be like 4 to 6 games at least. It's just, I guess it's tough. Like we've talked about it before. There's, you know, he might be innocent in certain places, but when there's that many charges, something must stick, just kind of how it works. So the question is, how does the NFL justify what's right, what's wrong? Like, how do they play judge and jury here and give him the suspension? So that's tough. I think you're playing the more cautious approach. I think he's going to have a longer suspension, maybe 6 to 8 games, maybe longer. So you're saying, okay, he's a, you know, QB2 potentially on in most leagues. For me, I'd probably have him around 14-ish, 12 to 14.
Like, so just outside of like a starter.
Yeah, I'd have him real close to a starter, but just outside because I'm still too nervous. And like you said, someone will draft him early, so I won't have to worry about it anyways. But yeah, I think I'd be too nervous to rank him too high. Let's put it that way.
The next guy on this list that I did have to move down, and this is it's a little depressing to me. J.K. Dobbins. I love J.K. Dobbins. I think he's a great running back out of the University of Ohio State University, excuse me. And you know, with a team I don't like, but the Ravens run the ball more than anyone in the league over the last 3 years. First, and third last season. Last season, the only reason they were third is because they had no secondary. The whole secondary got hurt, so anyone could pass on them, so they had to pass to kind of play point for point here, and they were still third in the league in rushes. But, you know, I think I initially had him around 14 or 15. His ECR, and I'm going PPR, is 21 among RBs. And the reason I did decide to move him down was because the day I put my ranks out, Mike Davis signed with the Ravens. Now, I don't think Mike Davis is a great running back anymore. I think he showed in Atlanta he's washed, right? I think he's a part-time player. But, and it's funny because I wrote an article for Fantasy Pros on buy now, buy early guys. Dobbins was one of my buy early guys because I said, hey, look, he's coming off ACL, which is concerning, right? So is Gus Edwards. But they didn't go out and grab a veteran. They hadn't gone out and grabbed a veteran. You know, they had other holes to fill in the draft. They did draft Tyler Beatty in the sixth round, the running back out of Missouri. And then they signed Mike Davis. The reason that I then lowered Dobbins is because I feel like Beatty and Mike Davis coming in, they're searching for a back that can catch. That's what I think. So it sounds to me like Dobbins is probably not going to be on the field on third downs. Gus Edwards probably not going to be on the field for third downs, third and longs anyway. And they're going to let Beatty and Davis fight it out in camp and see which one plays better and ends up on the roster as your third down back. So you're taking, you know, not every third down, but a lot of plays away from either one of those backs. So I kind of had to lower him. Are you in or out on Dobbins as a, let's just say, a top 15 RB? Does he have to be lower than that? Or do you see the path to him providing top 15 value?
Well, of course, there's always a path to him because we've seen big gains from him, but I wouldn't do it for the reasons you mentioned with the other running. The running back room is rather loaded in Baltimore. Coming off the ACL injury is very troublesome. And as we all know, Bogman, the running back one is under center in Baltimore. And yeah, that makes things very difficult for looking for a top-end running back. Now, where he's going 21-ish or so, you can make an argument for that. Like, that's an RB2 on your squad, maybe an RB3 if you're aggressive on running backs. Like, that's not a bad deal. You pick a flex play for you some weeks, and there's a lot of upside to that with J.K. Dobbins. It's just the way that team operates. We've seen them move running backs around. We know what Lamar can do. And even when Lamar was out, Huntley was running. Like, so that's how their system's built. Their system's built to have these athletic running backs, to have our quarterbacks, all these running backs. That worries me with Dobbins. He's a very talented dude. I think he could be a great back in the right system. I just don't know if this is the system for him.
This one I have in here for you specifically. Can you please explain the Miami Dolphins backfield to me? Because they signed Chase Edmonds. They signed, who am I forgetting right now? Sony Michel. Well, most hurt. Then they signed Sony Michel. They still have Gaskin and Salvin Ahmed on this roster. They said they're going to open it up for a competition. So are we just throwing darts here on the Dolphins backfield?
Yeah, pretty much. You'd have to think with the new regime in place, Mostert's got to have some love there because he's going to know the system pretty well. So you can probably look at him, but you know he can't stay healthy. It's frustrating because we saw Gaskin just do awesome stuff once he finally got the chance to do it, especially in PPR formats. Like, he was a beast, but that's in question. Sony Michel, we know what to get with Sony Michel. So if he somehow is the lead guy there, well, I'll be so wrong. I'm not touching Sony Michel. Like, let that one fall away. It's troublesome. It's very annoying because Chase Edmonds got skills. I guess it's a bunch of injured dudes. So it is legit. It's legit like the Niners backfields from years past. Like, they always have every year we come in, like, oh, look at Jerick McKinnon and Mostert, like all these guys, and then they all get injured. They all have their good weeks, they all have their bad weeks. Jeff Wilson, the Dolphins are doing the same thing. So I guess it's like that theory with the Niners. It's like Dodgers and pitching in baseball. You can never have enough of them. So it's gonna load up, and as guys get hurt, next man up, then that guy gets hurt, the other guy comes back, and that's how they're going to run their system is my only guess. So for fantasy, it might just suck overall. I can't give you a good answer because it's an absolute mess right now. I would just be full of void until we get maybe some clarity, but I don't think it's ever going to be crystal clear, to be honest.
I'm going to go in the order of which they were signed. So Edmonds 1, Mostert 2, Michelle three. And I'm not.
But where's Gaskin sit there?
I'm not. Well, that's what I was about to say. I'm not completely convinced that Michelle is over Gaskin either. So, Gaskin could easily beat him out. So I wouldn't be shocked. The last one, which this is a statement and not a question. Y'all are too low on Brian Robinson. I'm just going to say that right now. Brian Robinson, the running back for the Washington Commanders, drafted in the third round. Why don't you just take a crack, Bub, in a PPR, what he's ranked among running backs?
Well, I'm going to apologize. I didn't get to his name yet, but I got to a certain number already. So it's very low. It's past 50. So I'm going to stop. Once you said that, I stopped scrolling. I'm like, okay, well, I'm nice. Already cheating.
69.
Wow. And we know Antonio Gibson's health. Like, and I love Gibson. Like, I've rostered him every year because he's usually cheap. And last year when the injuries took place, he started getting the full workload and he was awesome, but he's always hurt. Always hurt.
Ron Rivera said, I view this as D'Angelo Williams and Jonathan Stewart. So Brian Robinson comes in and has a first, second down role to start. You can also use Antonio Gibson as a wide receiver, which he played in college. So everyone is too low on Brian Robinson. I think he's going to get goal line carries too, because he's a big, big back. So I don't understand why people are so low on Brian Robinson. He needs to be at least in your top 50, if not top 40, which I have him inside the top 40. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll be talking some baseball. It's In This League on the Sports Grid, right back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and
Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil. Next, I take an ice bath. Ooh, feeling super healthy.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com, Cygnos.com, with code SPARK. Cygnos.
More. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and smoking...
In This League.
Break it down.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour 3 of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter, at Bogman Sports, joined by Casey Bubba at BD Antrick. Bub, we're going to talk some baseball here. Lots of stuff going on in baseball. We had the Reed Detmers no-no and then the Rendon lefty bomb. So we haven't talked about this, but let me hear your take on what, first of all, lefty bomb, way better than the no-no, right? I mean, it has to be.
It was great because A, it's the first time he's done it in a game. B, like, people think, oh, he's a pro. I'm like, that's still darn difficult, people. I hate to break it to you. Just talking. And C,
I mean, try going out and batting in the opposite hand that you're used to.
Try and slow pitch softball and tell me how it goes, let alone, I know he only threw like 60 miles an hour or something.
It's
but, like,
easier
still,
to stand on your head, you know.
The best part, though, Bogman, is he still had the shin guard on the back foot like he was hitting right-handed. So he didn't even move the shin guard. I watched that video so many times, and I just got caught staring at the shin guard, just laughing. That he just didn't even change it. It was on his back leg and stuff. And I'm like, that is gold, absolute gold. But, I saw some headlines, I think with Jason Klett or someone tweeted it out, that Brett Phillips has allowed X amount of runs. He scored this many runs this year. Like, it was some funny stats because he's pitched already like twice or three times,
which is just absurd.
Yeah, it's just not be allowed. Like, I for fantasy it would stink, especially for DFS, but there's a point, it's like, you know what, I'd rather have a mercy rule, like give up, than put positional players in. That's just my two cents.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with,
because like, let's talk about this wasn't a part of the agenda here, but all the garbage that Kapler and the Giants have got for unwritten rules of baseball, Rendon hitting left-handed and going deep, isn't that some kind of insulting rule of baseball that he probably broke there? Like, hey, this is so garbage, I'm going to go from the opposite side of the plate and still take you deep.
Yeah, but you know what? Here's the thing.
Oh, I'm not saying it is. I think it's hilarious. But I'm saying, like, there's got to be somewhere where someone's like, this
sure.
is garbage.
I'm sure Gabe Kapler was all upset about this, which is hilarious to me. I mean, Gabe Kapler is just a non-traditional person. So I'm very surprised that he is traditional in terms of the unwritten rules, but he comes from that era, you know. Yeah. He comes from that era. Well, that the last era where that stuff was really still respected and looked at, you know, as a thing. Now it's not really looked at as a thing. It's like, okay, if you want to do that, you can, but we're having fun over here. That's the whole thing. We're having fun over here. If you throw Brett Phillips out there, yep. sometimes they're gonna put a righty as a lefty and let him go deep, right? Yep. So tough. You don't you don't like it? Don't throw Brett Phillips. Bingo. You know,
it's like the old Belichick rule. Why are you guys still scoring when you're up 40? Stop us.
Yeah, that Saban. You know, we put in these kids in the third and fourth quarter, and they score also. So if you don't like it, stop it. Yep. You know, and if you don't want to play this program, find a way to get out of playing us. You know, pretty so hard. I'm 100% with the if you don't like it, then stop it. Yelich hit for the cycle, which was awesome. Dude is really, like, you know, he's been one of the unluckiest batters in terms of, you look at his Statcast page and it's red, pretty much everywhere. And the results just aren't there. The low BABIP, all that stuff. But I'm more worried about the back thing being chronic for him.
Exactly.
So that is why I don't have him rostered in. I don't know if I have him rostered anywhere.
I have zero shares.
So, yeah, I think I'm also a zero shares, but it was a weird stat too. Three cycles all against the Reds.
Yeah, I'm going to bring that up.
The Reds won that game 14-11 when he hit for the cycle. It was a crazy game.
The Bengals beat the Packers. It was crazy.
Welsh and I have talked about this. More exciting, a cycle or no?
Cycle.
I think so too. I didn't initially. But I feel like no-nos are almost getting worn down. We've had how many almost no-hitters have we had this year already? Verlander almost had one the same day as Reed Detmers. Nestor Cortez was four outs away. You know, there's been a couple other close calls.
Remember last year we had like six in the first like month and a half?
I know, dude. It's been crazy. So they're kind of – no-hitters are almost getting watered down, right?
Yep. Yeah, they are. And – like, you look at a cycle, so we got, you know, the one from Yelich. There's a great chance we don't see one the rest of the year. Like, it's much fewer and far between. So I'd rather see a cycle, because at the same time, it's like, I like a good pitching outing. Don't get me wrong. But if the guy's hitting for the cycle, that's an entertaining ballgame. Like, we're having fun. We're enjoying watching the ballgame.
Let me ask you this. If I gave you a ticket and I said either a perfect game or a four-homer game is going to happen in this ticket, which would you wish for?
That's a good one, because I've seen a three-homer game. I've seen that Pablo Sandoval in the World Series. I've seen that one.
No big deal. I was at the World Series.
Yeah, no big deal. There's game one. Two of them are off of Verlander. No big deal. Man, that's good, because the perfecto, now that's different than the no-hitter to me. That's
I think 27.
I think I go perfecto, because like I still remember where I was watching the end of Matt Cain's perfecto. Where, like, I probably can't tell you who at the last four home run game.
Yeah. Was JD Martinez against the Dodgers.
That's a good one to remember, because screw the Dodgers. But yeah. I think I'd go perfect game, actually, which is weird since I want the cycle over no-no. But I think perfect games are so rare. I'll take the perfect game.
I think I'm there with you, too. And I think the intensity is ratcheted up. I mean, look, the intensity when you're going for a cycle, when you've hit three homers and you come up to the plate again, which is just so rare to begin with. Three homer games are rare. So to see a four-homer game, extremely rare. I do remember my buddy Chad left Josh Hamilton on his bench, didn't set his lineup for the day when Josh Hamilton went deep four times. So just hilarious. He had a co-owner who he told he set the lineup that day. He told the co-owner, and the co-owner said, I'm not helping you anymore. I'm done.
Well, the other thing with the perfect game was, like you said, the buzz is every single pitch.
Yeah.
Well, the four homer, it's only when that one guy comes up to bat.
Yes.
So yeah, it's like,
true. Even when the other team, even when the pitcher's team is batting, you want to get through the at bats fast.
Well, because, and you're sitting there whispering, like, should we talk about it? Like, what's going on? Like, is it, like all that kind of stuff that's going on. And then he goes and takes the bump again. And you're just like, there's a different feeling in the air.
It's definitely a little more electric when something like that is happening. The ump show continues. I mean, there have just been a lot of weird stuff going on with the umpires. I proposed this question to Welsh, and I'll ask you here. If you had to decide today we're going robot umpires forever. So there's just like one official. There's no umpires on the field. There's one official that says out or safe. I guess you'd have to have people on the field to call the play as it happens or whatever. Maybe there's a light. Hell, I don't know. But if you could go to no umpires forever, or we're going to have umpires forever. Maybe there's something in place to get rid of the crappy ones like Angel Hernandez. Where do you want to go? Do you want to just say, screw this? No umps. I'm tired of seeing the fighting over balls and strikes and all that stuff. Or, hey, look, this has been a part of the game for the history of the game. Let's leave it in here. Let's just get better guys in.
Yeah, see, it's a rough one. I hate the ump shows. I hate them with a passion. Angel Hernandez needs to just be gone. I still want the human element out there a little bit. Like,
yeah,
there's got to be a way to fine tune it, because some of these things are just bad. And I don't remember it ever being so bad. So at one point in time, it was pretty good. So let's get to that somehow. I like to keep the human element still in play a bit. So I still want to see umpires out there. I don't like the idea of relying on robots or stuff like that.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I'm down the middle here. Like, I guess if we could put sensors into gloves and things and all of that, and like figure out, you know, with great accuracy, you know, safe calls, out calls, like, you know, you have a plate lighting up or something. I don't know what it is. Glove lighting up, green or red, something that would be cool. But I am just so sick of the umps controlling the entire game and, you know, kind of holding the game hostage, that, you know, my way or the highway. I'm sick of a lot of that stuff. So I think I'm with you for the most part. But it's close. I feel like I could easily be swayed to say, all right, just robot umps, right? It wouldn't take much. Like, all it would take is the D-backs getting screwed in the playoffs for me to go, robot umps, that's it, I'm done, no more. I mean, you know, we're years away from D-backs making the playoffs, but you know, something like that could definitely change my mind. Speaking of the D-backs, two things: Lavolo, winningest manager in Diamondbacks history. So that was pretty cool.
That sneaked up on us.
It really did. He did it quickly. Because last year was his first really terrible season. Like, all the other seasons have been solid. They've been in the running for a while before, you know, clunking out at the end. They're above 500 this year, playing much better than they were last year. You know, a couple games over 500. Looking good right now outside of Melanson, who sucks. How did Melanson close games?
Why don't you say what it says on the sheet, Bogman? I think you should say what it says on the sheet.
Because I don't want to edit stuff. It's already too much editing here. But I use a little more colorful language on the sheet here. But the guy sucks. How did you take him all year last year? That was terrible.
Yeah, I don't know. He wasn't this bad. Let's put it that way. When he was the closer for the Giants, he was much more efficient than this and much got the job done. Then they traded him to Atlanta the second year with the Giants, and he was still good there.
It's like a curse that started with Kim in the World Series of closers for the D-backs.
I don't remember him being this bad. It's pretty wild. And he got paid, so he's got a lot of money in his bank account, so good for him.
God, it drives me crazy. Anybody else should be the closer. Ian Kennedy sucks too, but he's better than Melanson. Kyle Nelson's been the best reliever for the D-backs. Go out there and let him do it. I just throw someone back there that's not going to give up 8 runs in the ninth.
The worst part is they're a competitive team. They paid him on a 2-year deal, so it's like they're probably not going to trade the dude. So it's a tough spot to be in.
Cut him.
Eat
the money. If he's pitching this bad, you know, I don't know, man. It's so aggravating to see. And even the save that he got the other night, he gave up 2 hits. You know, like, I'm sick of seeing that dude run out there and take the bump. Paul DeJong got demoted, but Nolan Gorman didn't get called up. I guess it's going to go to Sosa when he comes back. What are you doing? You're stashing Gorman everywhere because it's got to be just a matter of time? Or is this a, hey, look, they're just saying, they keep telling us he's not ready, so it's clear that he's not ready.
Yeah, he has hit his 13th home run of the season on Wednesday, so clearly not ready, clearly. If you can stash him, I would, but there's a part of me, and like, it could be totally wrong because you never know with these teams. Every time you think they're not going to move up a guy, here he comes. They've had multiple opportunities already to move him up, and they didn't. But then again, they brought Yepes up, and they've been playing him, and that surprised me a bit too because they have a crowded outfield. So maybe it's one more injury has to take place. Cause yeah, Sosa's coming back pretty soon. He's gonna play shortstop. They're gonna, I think they didn't bring Gorman up because they want to play him every day and keep him up. That's my guess. I would like to say he gets a shot soon, but I just don't know where he goes without a serious injury, like a big injury. And that's the bad part about it. So if you can hold him, sure, but I don't play in a lot of leagues where you can do that.
Would you rather stash Max Meyer?
Yes, Max Meyer should be up very soon. He should be. There's really no reason to keep him down anymore. Like the hitter thing I get because, you know, positions, the Marlins need pitching. They just need pitching. So he should be up very soon, I would hope. Otherwise, that's a whole tanking team trying to tank the future. That's what that is.
Are the Red Sox going to sell off?
They might have to here pretty soon. They might have to. I don't think they're going to just yet because they still have a ton of talent. Like, no one would be shocked if they put together like 10 wins in a row, but they're going to have to do it pretty soon. We'll see. Like, the expanded playoffs help, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, 9 wins so far. I mean, we're still very, very early in the season.
The Reds are saying, hold my beer.
Yeah, exactly. The Reds are catching up quick.
Yes, they are.
So
it's fun watching the big market teams burn up in flames, though. So I don't hate it.
Look, I'm also here for it. So excited about that for sure. But we got to take a break. When we come back, we'll end the 3-hour tour of In This League on the Sports Grid right back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In This League.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
You guys here in This Love, you know what that means. At the end of the 3-hour tour of In This League on the Sports Grid. Like I said, please check out the Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army. Please follow us all on Twitter at Bogman Sports, at BD Entrick for Bub, at Is It the Welsh for the Welsh. I got to ask you a question. What is more useless? The NFL schedule release show or gender reveals for babies? And did you guys do a gender reveal? Because
we did not do a gender reveal. We just found out ourselves and told people.
I think you, Bub. Never going away. Love that.
I feel like the NFL party is worse, though. Like, I honestly don't think I've ever tuned in for that. At least if, like, I had close friends, like, invite us. We're going to a party where there's barbecue and beer and, like, we're having a good time.
Also,
I'm not usually stuck in front of a TV hating life.
1 to 3 times in a life you're doing that. Not every single year. Yeah. Well, I mean, there
and
are
people, but most of the schedules get leaked even before the release party's on TV.
Right.
And in reality, the tickets aren't even on sale. So, like, what's the matter? You could wait till, like, 4 days from now and still see what the games are. I think the release parties, it's just proof the NFL's king, though, because they get so many eyeballs on their TV. That's why they do it. Like, so I get why they do it. I think it's dumber than heck, and people need to, like, figure out what to do with a couple hours of their life than to do that. Like, protest people.
Watch
don't
a movie,
do this.
Dude. Come
I'd rather
on,
watch, like, yeah, watch a movie. Go watch anything. Go take a walk. I'd rather see them put on, like, on a, one of their NFL films, like, old school things, like, instead of go play the tuck rule game on with Tom Brady commenting that it's really a fumble now. Let's talk about that. So, like, God, I do not show a release party. It's it's on multiple channels now, too. It's even worse.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, it's not for me. So, and I am the king consumer of the NFL. I love the NFL. I base my fall schedule around the NFL and around the Steelers schedule, but I don't want to see the release show, the schedule release. It's too much, right? It doesn't make any sense. Like you said, read a book, take a walk. Watch a movie, watch a documentary, do
anything,
something else.
Anything.
Yeah, because guess what? The day after it comes out, you can just look.
You'll have more fun on Ancestry.com than you will checking out an NFL release party.
Absolutely. Finding out where everyone's from. So.
You have a serial killer in your family. You'll have more fun finding that out.
On that note, we got to end. So enjoy your serial killer family member, and we'll see you guys all next week in This League on the Sports Grid. Out.